Well, again, my name is Jeannie Blankenship, and I'm a registered dietitian by trade. I work in policy and advocacy at this point, but I've been involved in the breastfeeding community for quite a long time. And I was at ADA. I was one of the, you know, one of the salt in the wound people back in the day when I would write articles and letters and complain about infant formula logos on bags. And I had no idea at that time that I would one day work for this organization and finally really be able to impart some of the policy effort that I hope to see change. So, you know, there are people at the USBC after the Surgeon General's call to action came out that have stood in a room and said, you know, I never thought I would see some of these things in my lifetime. And I think that really echoes. And I just, Larry, you know, for the vision and your part in this, I can't say thank you enough. And it really, it's affected a lot of people, a lot of Americans. And so thank you for your vision. And for your leadership and communications with USBC. I don't have any financial disclosures. I want to talk a little bit about USBC, about the things that we've been doing in the last year or so that have contributed towards many of these action items. And I've aligned them. I wrote the numbers on there. You'll have to look them up. I didn't include the entire text. But to give you an overview of the USBC, we're actually a coalition of organizations. There's about 40 different member organizations, and we represent government agencies, non-government agencies, health professional organizations such as APHA. Melissa is the member rep from APHA. I'm with American Dietetic Association. Most of us have a member representative, and then we also have an alternate. And the great thing about having the alternate is that the alternates can serve on committees and task forces. So most organizations do send two people to the meetings, and it really gives us kind of that double bang for the buck. They can't vote. The alternates can't if the member rep is there. But it has really helped us with some of the reaching efforts and also in our ability to develop leaders and to move people up within USBC and allow them to eventually take over some of these task force efforts. And the last one there, the state breastfeeding coalitions, is somewhat new to USBC. We've always had a relationship and a liaison and a desire to work with breastfeeding coalitions and to provide leadership at a national level. But we made some major strides the last year where we had organized, we had regional representatives that mirrored the WIC regions. So we had these members that would come in and represent the state breastfeeding coalitions. And we've continued to work towards our governance. And finally, we're at a position where we have member representation from the state breastfeeding coalitions at the table, helping us at USBC to make decisions and to effectuate policy. So I think that's a huge feather in our cap. And as we talk about the next steps with the Surgeon General's call to action, it certainly is what we need to do to be able to take, if you remember Larry's picture where he had the circles, you know, USBC is out there on the fringe with the government, with the federal agencies. We have to get clear down to the mom, and that requires that grassroots effort. So I think we talk about translational research all the time. Well, this is almost like translational from government all the way down to grassroots in terms of policy. So the vision of USBC and mission are listed here. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I think you'll find that these are very much in line with the goals and objectives that are listed in the call to action. And certainly, we're hoping to advance breastfeeding, and we do that through a collaborative partnership, and we try to utilize the resources and the richness of the member organizations. So each member organization brings a different group or discipline to the table and it has different viewpoints about breastfeeding. And sometimes it makes for strange bedfellows, if you will, but it's great stuff because we're really able to reach beyond some of the barriers that have traditionally existed with regard to breastfeeding. Our strategic goals, we have four broad areas that we focused on in our last strategic plan. So we talked about what we need to do. This was in 2009. Now we have the Surgeon General's call to action. We're trying to make sure that we're aligning our current activities and initiatives with the call to action, and I'll talk more about some of the next steps we're taking as I get towards the end of the presentation. But again, looking at the first one, ensure that quality breastfeeding services, so it's that support component that you see in the call to action. Very similar, the reduced marketing that undermines optimal breastfeeding. We aren't the government. We can take a little bit more active approach in our efforts, our advocacy efforts, to talk the talk about marketing and the impact that it has. We want to ensure that women and their families, so again pulling in that father and grandmother component, in the workforce are supported in optimal breastfeeding. For many women, that does include a child care setting. And then finally, in order for us to be able to do all of this at the national level and to really be and provide the leadership that's needed in the breastfeeding community, we have to be sustainable and an effective organization. So our last goal is really related to allowing us to sustain ourselves as an organization. I talked about the fact that we have these different member organizations. We're a working group. We have outcomes that we want. We want deliverables. It's not a group where you join and you go and you take a vote at a meeting and maybe don't do anything until the next meeting comes along. You actually have quite a list of homework and responsibility. We have standing committees that support our operations, but we also have task forces and work groups that are aligned with each of those strategic goals. And they're defined, again, by the goal, but then also what the current tactic is. So we have a list of tactics that we hope to achieve, for example, with regard to reduced marketing. We start with the first one. We have a group that works on that. There may be another group working on a different tactic, but we're kind of just going through that strategic plan and making sure that we're doing what we set forward to do. So our first goal, that ensuring quality, again, comes back to those support action items which are listed there. And there are others, too, that have more of a softer relationship, but these are the main ones that we have focused on. And some of our successes, it's one thing to tell a hospital, well, we want you to come up with these measures or criteria and implement some system changes. It's different to give them a toolkit and allow them to have some sort of perspective to be able to do that. Melissa was very much involved in the Joint Commission Core Measures on Exclusive Breast Milk Feeding toolkit that we put out. We did two different sections on that. So when the first one came out, it was absolutely a success. We had hospitals all over the nation downloading that document and then asking us, when are you coming out with section two? When is it going to be? We need the second part. So we were very pleased. We've had about 5,000 hits since the December 13 revision came out and have been working with hospitals and responding to the inquiries that have come forward. We also partnered with the Joint Commission on Speak Up campaign. Again, back to Larry's circle, Joint Commission was in the outer ring. So we're having these conversations with these other organizations, entities, government agencies that allow for system changes to occur. We also published the core competencies in breastfeeding care and services for all health professionals. Well, why do we need this? You know, it's not always the doctor or the nurse or the dietitian or the pharmacist that has the effect on breastfeeding. It can be a dental hygienist. It can be a pharmacy tech. It can be a medical assistant. It can be anybody. So what we wanted to do is to really look at the playing field and say, across all disciplines, if you've got contacts with mom, what is the basic level of information you need to know so that you're able, again, to provide that support for breastfeeding? Also widely successful. We've had over 5,000 hits on this particular document. It's referenced for each competency. We're in the process of working with our member organizations and encouraging each of them to take this back, work with their organization within their credentialing or their academic requirements, and come up with a way to integrate these core competencies so that we see a healthcare field that has that understanding so that it, in the minimum, they don't mess up what the mom has already chosen to do. Reduced marketing also aligns with the actions listed here. We currently are in press with our publication, a position statement on marketing of human milk substitutes. We took a stand on this. We've submitted comments not only on infant formula labeling claims, but other regulatory comments with regard to infant formula and formula safety. This continues to be an area where our work groups are focusing, so I think in the next year as the task force that just got done with this position statement will be picking up additional workload to continue our efforts with regard to marketing. In terms of ensuring that women in the workforce are supported, We have worked with the, to support the law. We have partnerships for implementation. We work with Department of Labor and the National Partnership for Women and Families about workplace support. We also have submitted comments in this area. We did quite a extensive nationwide request for information from coalitions and members and the community. We brought that back in. We were able to compile it. We have an extensive database of the challenges that mothers face with regard to work and lactation. We've published a statement in this area as well that has also been downloaded quite a few times, as you see there. We've collaborated with other organizations to participate in coalition meetings. We've signed on to letters. We've had representation with the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Women's Health expert panels to address breastfeeding support in hospitals, universities, and schools. It is difficult for physicians to breastfeed. Think of the environment. Think of how difficult it is for them to practice what they preach. Until we can actually provide an environment where physicians themselves can do it, they're going to feel guilty about telling their patients to do something that they themselves cannot environmentally do. And so this is an area where we really have to work to make sure that we're providing the support that's needed to some of our nation's brightest and most talented individuals who know that breastfeeding is the preferred infant feeding method. The Breastfeeding Promotion Act of 2011 was introduced into Congress in both the House and the Senate in August, and we co-sponsored a congressional briefing, the Improving the Health of Families, How Employers and the Economy Benefit. The nice thing about briefings, again, this is an advocacy effort that allows both chambers of Congress to come in and hear information about a particular bill. We had speakers from Senator Merkley's office, from the Department of Labor, the National WIC Association, Office of Personnel Management, and then we had a working mother of four that really brought it home. What does it mean to be a mom with four kids and to try to breastfeed? And she stood up there and she talked about how great her baby was, how healthy he was, how robust he was. She was just really proud of what she was doing for her infant. And I think of all the speakers, that's what resonates most with those offices from the different congressional members. Goal D, ensuring that we're sustainable. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we're working to diversify where we're at and making sure that we have a diverse funding source so that we're rely on not government funds but also private partnerships, perhaps looking at different grants. This aligns with Action 20 in terms of the state breastfeeding coalitions. We play a unique role in fostering that collaboration, really weaving together those coalitions that exist in all 50 states. As I mentioned, we have that regional representation, but we're working to develop infrastructure and capacity, and we do that a few different ways. We do it through our conference that we have every 2 years with the coalition, and we also do it through establishing some regular systems, which are going to come up on the next couple of slides. We offer funding opportunities for coalitions through mini grants, and we connect grassroots to national efforts, as I mentioned before. We maintain strong partnerships and support for the states, territory, and tribal coalitions through some of our efforts that are listed here. There's a landscape of breastfeeding support photo archive that is available online. We have an electronic forum that allows the coalitions to communicate and offer best practices to one another. We work with CDC to host bi-monthly coalition teleconferences. These have been very well attended and successful. And our fourth conference is coming up in August of 2012. We recently hosted a conference with ASTAPIN to build effective collaboration. So how do coalitions implement the Surgeon General's call to actions? We work with them to come up with ideas and give them take-home messages so that they could do the work in their local communities. And then listed also are some of the other organizations that we've partnered with. In terms of advocacy, we comment on federal issues. We provide agency comments. We also provide legislative comments. We've sent letters to various agencies. We spent a lot of time advocating for the reversal of the IRS ruling on breast pumps, which we were successful. We have also worked with the, if you see the last one, encouraging members and coalitions to submit comments. Melissa and I did a webinar with our coalition members to advocate for this joint letter to the Congressional Appropriations Committee. We gave them talking points. We gave them a list of the key members of Congress that are on the Appropriations Committee, and we had sign-on letters. 38 national organizations and 98 regional, state, local organizations signed on to our letter. We held that briefing, and we were successful in working with Representative Jesse Jackson from Illinois to get language inserted into the appropriations bill. So hopefully our next step is then to advocate that that language be retained. In terms of next steps, I think member reports on action items was one of the most recent activities that we did at our January meeting, where we had the member organizations look at those 20 steps in the call to action and say, what have you done in each one of these areas? Then we can take all 40 organizations and say, here's what's happening out there with action item one. Here's what's happening with action item two. And we're hoping that as time goes on, that that's information that the Surgeon General will find helpful. We are convening a task force to look at our strategic plan and next steps for incorporating the call to action and Healthy People 2020. We want to continue the dialogue that we have with our government partners and support their efforts for interagency communication, whether that be through a formal work group or whether it be through the communication networks that exist now. And finally, to continue to develop that infrastructure for coalition support. I want to close by just saying that because I'm in nutrition and a registered dietitian, I tend to go to events where the Surgeon General is at. And there are a variety of different topics. It's not always breastfeeding. But she always gets the breastfeeding in. She always talks, always links it back. And she talks about meeting moms middle of the road and meeting people where they're at, linking it to obesity. And I think that all of us as individual advocates have to do what she's doing. When we're there and we're in a conversation, we have to be thinking, how can I not obnoxiously insert breastfeeding into the conversation and reflect my passion and make sure that I'm doing my part, not only as a national organization, but that I'm doing my part as an individual. So thank you.